This is the Ventured Growth Podcast with Hercules Capital, where you will hear from today's leaders in the venture ecosystem as we explore their perspectives and personal stories. I'm your host, Katie Sagan, and in this podcast, my colleagues and I will be speaking to top CEOs, CFOs, and investors in venture and private equity-backed and public companies. In these conversations, our guests will share with you how they scaled their businesses and how their interests and life experiences have shaped their paths to success. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Ventured Growth with Hercules Capital. Thanks for joining us for today for another new and exciting episode. Today we have Catherine Jung from the Hercules Capital team speaking with Casey Wu. Casey Wu is a seasoned COO and CFO with a background in public market investing, now known for his leadership in high growth technology startups over the last 20 years. Casey navigated the worlds of finance and tech, evolving from a strategic Wall Street analyst to a pioneering force behind Operators Guild and Fog Ventures. With an eye for innovation and a passion for community building, Casey's journey offers insights into the transformative power of collaboration and strategic thinking in the tech ecosystem. We invited Casey Wu to share his expertise in blending finance and technology, shaping the future of startup ecosystems. In today's episode, we talk about Casey's experiences, from his early days on Wall Street to shaping the future of business operations and finance. We'll explore the lessons learned, the challenges overcome, and the visions that drive his work with Operators Guild and Fog Ventures. Thank you for joining us for today's episode. Without further ado, enjoy this conversation with Casey Wu.
Well, I would love to hear, and just actually a good place to start would be if you could share, I guess, what's going on with Fog Ventures, and also just share more about Operators Guild.
Yeah, sure. The Operators Guild was a 9-person lunch group almost exactly 10 years ago of COOs, CFOs, heads of biz ops that I'm going to call it lost. And what I mean by that is I left Wall Street after 10 years, you know, pretty classic investment banking. Then I went to public equities and hedge funds. And I had this crazy itch to build. I know this now. Before, I didn't know what it was. It was just, I don't know, this investing thing's great, but there's more. And I realized I'd love to build, number one. And the second thing is I love to work with people. If you've seen The Big Short, you know, Michael Burry's in his room with papers. That's what I did. I was a hedge fund manager. And when someone says corner office to me, I actually think lonely. I don't think cool. I don't think amazing Central Park view, which I had it. And okay, after a while, I was like, where's my people? So I left, joined a 10-person startup in Silicon Alley, New York. At the time, they were like, what are you doing? You're leaving Wall Street to do this fintech SaaS, cute little 10-person. Good luck to you. You know, you're going to wear like jeans and a t-shirt and flip-flops too. And I loved it. Building with other people. And I think anyone that has done startups, you know, or early stage or high growth, I think can understand what I'm talking about, which is there's an addiction to the impact and the creativity and the openness and the risk and growth, et cetera. I loved it so much. I said, I'm going to go to Silicon Valley because that was the place. I'm switching careers from investing, asset management, finance to tech companies. Mm-hmm. I came out here and I'll fast forward a little bit, but they were like, you don't have a CPA, so you don't qualify for finance. And I'm like, I don't even know where to begin with that. Like, don't qualify for finance. Oh, they think I'm an accountant. Okay, I'm not an accountant, but there's other important jobs in finance I can do. And that wasn't what the ecosystem was at the time. It was, watch the money, report the stuff, keep me out of jail. But you don't code and you don't sell.
Did you like that?
So, no, it was scary. It was like, I went and I always joke, I apologize if there's, for those who don't like a little bit of cursing, but finance in New York is the shit. Finance in San Francisco is shit. at the time, right? It was just like back office.
Yeah.
It was just like finance is back office. It's not a, you know, and I'll get into it later, but it's not a strategic weapon. It's a, what do you mean? You code or do you sell? So that's what I mean by lost. ex-McKinsey, ex-Bain, ex-Goldman, ex-Morgan, you know, ex-not tech coming over, I found this lunch group and I was like, hey, are you kind of like switching careers and no one gets what you do like me? They said, yeah. I said, I've been looking for this group. It doesn't exist. I joined some CFO groups. I joined some COO groups. No offense, it just wasn't me. I can go into why. So I started writing down the things that wasn't me and that I wanted to be me. And there's 5 roles. And I shared those roles with them. And I said, hey, you down to create a little thing where we meet every month and just mom and dad group it? And they said, yes. That 9 is now 814 as of today. It's a paid premium membership community. I think it's considered, not by me, but I think those who know about it is the preeminent CFO, COO, biz ops tech community, at least definitely for US and Canada. And my most proud thing about Operators Guild is it went from 9 to 814, 95% organic. We haven't spent a dollar of sales or marketing, and 5% was accidental LinkedIn or, you know, accidentally running across our website. So anyway, I can talk more about that. But anyways, that's Operators Guild. And Fog Ventures is the operating syndicate of OG. So Fog stands for 4 Operators Guild. Very cute. It turns out that I got this idea because some prominent VCs would reach out about 2020 and said, hey, we have these deals for you to look at. Before, I would get things like, we have a CFO job, COO job. I still get those because of the Operators Guild, right? That's where you go to find the best operators. And I said, well, I'm not an investor, so why are you, what do you want me to do with this? I said, well, this is the 7th CFO tool or operator tool we've seen in 3 months, and we're not that. So if you like any of those, we'll take a hard look. And then the light bulb went off. 2 light bulbs. The first light bulb was, oh, we matter now. We matter. The CFO office matters now. The COO office matters now. They actually matter so much that people are building tools for us. Because before it was all Salesforce, that's for sales. Atlassian, that's for engineering, right? They have all the coolest tools. But we had build.com, no offense, great, very old. NetSuite, very old. Like the tech stack, it was just has not been refreshed for operators in a very long time. The second was the power of community. All founders look for 3 things. All. Number 1, money. Number 2, customers. And number 3, talent. Number 1 is solved very well by VCs. They cut you a big check real quick. 2 and 3 are very hard. I don't care if you're Jamie Dimon or someone that just started. You're looking for customers and you're always looking for talent. We happen to be a boatload of potential prospective customers. We're 800 executives who buy stuff across the org. And then the third is we're talent. We obviously build. So we kind of operationalized it. And in a super pitch, if we bring someone to syndicate, 50 to 100 of us will show up for 1 hour in front of the founder. Yes, it's an investment pitch, but what is it also? Sales. I asked the founder, can your BD department bring 50 to 100 decision-making buyers onto a Zoom with you in 1 hour? Farmser, 4 1-hour in 3 days. And the answer mostly is no. So community is very powerful. It's very simple. It's called friendship. So yeah, so that's Fog Ventures. And I've talked for a long time, but we do specialty is B2B software. And then we also do a lot of other fun stuff. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun helping founders and bringing really cool deals and jobs to the community at the same time.
Amazing. So with Fog Ventures then, where does the capital, is it a fund or how?
No, yeah, it's a good old syndicate.
So it's a syndicate.
Yep. Yep. We do SPV, deal by deal.
Oh, interesting. Syndicate. And so it's the individual operators that are part of Operators Guild that invest right. their personal capital into the SPV that then invests right. into the individual companies.
And to clarify, Fog is a separate entity than OG, so about... Okay. 60% of the members of Fog are OG members. Okay. Another 40 are very prominent operators or other non-members who are operators who, you know, love to invest. But it is designed to be an operating syndicate. So they're all builders, operators, mostly non-technical. Mm-hmm. So yes.
Oh, really interesting. Okay. And then what stage are you typically investing in the companies? And then are you investing into each other's companies, like the folks that are actually part of the syndicate?
We have so much reach. Yes. There are definite companies we invest in where some of us work there. Yes. That's another amazing part about it is the amount of diligence, intelligence, data points, legal, mm-hmm. you know, that you can get is tremendous. But most importantly is you know, we're buyers. So that's one of the best diligence. So in terms of stage, mostly I'd say AB. Seed is a little bit trickier for a syndicate of this nature because operators love to see something. Mm-hmm. Right. Generally, if you see something, you're not pre-seed or seed. Mm-hmm. We are looking into earlier. We're starting to reach into a little bit more seed, but mostly I would say it's less than 10 million of revenue, or they've pretty much are in scaling mode. So there's a few that are have really busted open, right? We've had a few Series B, Series Cs. So we have a lot of fun with just all stages, but for the most part, I'd say it's 80.
Okay, great. And so with Fog Ventures, I'd love to hear some metrics in terms of like, mm-hmm. how do companies find you or how do you find them? And how much capital have you guys deployed? How many deals have you guys done?
Yeah, so we are very selective. You know, that's what I love about a syndicate is if there's nothing, we don't do it. If we like it, we like it. And if something smells weird, we just stop. There's no pressure to mm-hmm. deploy. Okay, so that's mm-hmm. number one. Number two is we do probably 2 deals a month on average. You know, there's been periods where we do one every quarter, but it's now becoming a little bit more steady at 1 to 2 a month. And we've invested over, I think closing on 15 million. Yeah. And it's super fun. So in about 25 mm-hmm. deals. So yeah, we have a lot of fun with it.
Wow. Okay. And this was just started in March of 21. So you guys have been active.
Yeah, it's kind of really active, probably like 2 years, but you know, maybe started 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's about right.
And so then how do you guys decide on investing? And then what does like investment committee look like?
Yeah. So when I was a hedge fund investor, or I should say equities investor, I covered consumer retail. And there, I remember a moment where my office is in the GM building. So the Apple store, the very famous New York Apple store is downstairs and you can see the big cube. And I was looking down on the cube and this tremendous line coming out. And I'm like, what's going on down there? And I went down there for lunch and I started talking to the people in line and said, what's going on? And what they said was that we're waiting in line for a $400 hard drive called an iPod. And I just remember, buy Apple. Do you see the line? Now, as a professional public investor, generally you write a thesis, you go data points, you do, and yes, you do that. Over time, you realize, yes, that's really important, right? What's the valuation? Don't get me wrong. But there's something that's a little more simple. And as you do something more and more, things get more simple. I joke, there's like the amateur golfer who buys everything. The pro golfer's like, dude, I just need one club. Like, let's go, right? So when you get really into something, you start to realize customer love. It's so simple. You only get money in two places, investors or customers. Mm-hmm. The biggest business in the world get it a lot from customers and a little from investors. Mm-hmm. That's called making a lot of money for your equity holders. The bad ones get very little from customers and keep getting it from investors, right? So this is an easy analogy because it's consumer companies, but Amazon, Costco, Apple, Tesla, raving fans. Oh, no surprise. Some of the biggest companies in the world. So that applies all the way down the line. So to back to your question of how do we diligence, really simple. We're all the buyers. So we have a 15-person committee made up of CFO, COOs, a good eclectic group. There's some technical. And I just say, hey, let's do the pitch. Your next thing is just pitch the product, pitch the deal. And we're also CFO, COO. So like we also can put on the hat of the team, quality. So, and at the end of it is, hey, are you guys excited? Would you buy it? Not really? Okay, pass.
Yep.
And it's worked really well. So for example, on one of them, I remember company A came, they were hot to trot. They had all the tier one VCs in them. It was like blowing up. So there's a lot of FOMO and oh my God, they're pitching to us. Mm-hmm. And then I distinctly remember going through it and they're like quizzing the founder, go, wait, I don't quite understand how that works though. Because the way, because they're selling to us. But if you do that, there's a conflict of interest. So if that doesn't work, so I don't understand. And he couldn't explain it. And we're like, I don't see this like working long run. I don't understand. Like I would probably, and then sure enough, we had people in the group who said, oh, I just left them to go to their competitor. And their competitor is X. And so we invited the competitor the next day who didn't have as much marketing, didn't have the tier one names. Valuation was a quarter of theirs. And the CEO was like, this makes so much sense. This approach, yeah. And then we started signing up. We started leaving. Some of us are customers of company A. 10 companies left in that span, whether it's because of we saw both of them or because it was just happening. So we switched from investing in company A to company B that just got marked up twice. And company A is having a down round now. So diligence is just, you're selling a product to someone. Mm-hmm. Get those someones and see if they love it.
That's amazing. So essentially for anybody that is selling a product into finance, needs to talk with you, or anybody investing in it, supporting kind of anything that, yeah, where finance is the buyer, or you said COOs as well, right? So COOs and CFOs, where they're the buyer.
That's right. And I mean, we see a lot, I would say B2B, mm-hmm. right? B2B software. If you think about it, we're the ones who purchase B2B yep. software. Now, I would say technical less so. So like engineering tools, no, we're not that technical. But go to market, right? Mm-hmm. The Gongs of the world, right? The Clarys of the world. And all, the whole B2B tech stack, right? you know, all those things from marketing, analytics, efficiency, KPIs, dashboards, planning, workflow, procurement, FP&A, anything that sits within the executive operating mm-hmm. stack is fair game because we either use it primarily or we're very familiar with it because most operators, CFOs, are sit in the center, meaning a lot of tools connect in or we have to know them because in the end of the day, we centralize.
Yep. That's awesome.
So our people to our left and right are the CRO or the CMO or the CTO. So there's a lot of reach mm-hmm. and we can call it real fast. You know, oh, that's the seventh tool we've seen. You know, it's too mm-hmm. crowded, right? We'll know pretty quickly.
Okay. You have a sense for like the market size and the demand and yeah.
The pain point.
How much you need it or not.
The biggest one I realized that we find out is the go-to-market wedge. So it's one thing to have a good product. It's another to be able to have space for it. So for example, finance tools are very cross-functional. They're very platform because finance tools have to connect. So if someone already has a finance tool, just because you have a better one doesn't mean they can rip out this one and mm-hmm. put it in. So it's not like they're sitting there waiting for you and there's a big hole in their tech stack to fill you. So half the time, the issue that we come up with is, I love your product, but I don't know how to take it out of Slack and then unbuckle this. And yours only does half of what this does. So even if I put it in, I need to keep it. That's now double the cost. So, you know, I have 1.5 cars, you know, and I need mm-hmm. one. So the whole like go-to-market motion of like, so you like it, you would buy it? Yeah, but I can't buy it because it can't fit. Or there's too much friction. So the founders learn all of the issues with go-to-market too. And so that's super important. So they'll change their pitch or they'll be like, wait, we need to play nice with this product because every time we hit a hurdle, it's because that product sits in the way. We need to integrate with them.
Yep. Interesting. Yeah. And then they have to better understand. And especially as those companies are going into selling more into like the enterprise, it gets even more complicated for all of those
exactly.
reasons because you have to integrate into so many different products and other platforms and APIs galore.
I think the trickiest thing now is people joke it's SaaS. There's so many SaaS products that already exist now. So 10 years ago, SaaS was still like, you know, not everyone had SaaS. Think about it now. A SaaS company needs to sell into a company that already has a bunch of mm-hmm. SaaS. So that's already been covered, meaning you're now replacing or upgrading, right? There's not a lot of holes anymore. Before it was a hole. It was like, you're doing it manually, use tech. Now it's my tech over someone else's tech. that gets way trickier.
Interesting. Okay. So you're helping these founders. Yeah, well, when they're pitching, it's almost like an advisory service for them too, because you're giving them real-time feedback and asking them some great questions.
It's a go-to-market bootcamp.
I love it. Fantastic. And so what's on the mind right now for, because a lot of our listeners here are CFOs and in the finance world of you know, within our venture-backed ecosystem, like what's like top of mind right now, given our slow IPO market, high interest rates, it's an election year. What are the hot topics?
I don't think I'm going to say anything that is like novel here. I think we're still in the, do I have runway or do I not have runway? And I'm just trying to survive. Or you're OpenAI and you're just fine. But as putting those aside, I think at this point you're having a lot of people who raised where their 18-month runway is up. So one is, what's on the mind is a lot of extensions. Debt extensions or equity extensions, there's a ton. I think there's also a lot of coming to Jesus moments where founders resisted this, I'm going to have a down round, and saying, okay, so there's a little bit of this flight to quality from the investor side. I think from the job side, CFO job side, it's definitely difficult. I mean, that's like any situation where you have companies shutting down, you need less CFOs, you need less COOs. So in that part, I don't think there's anything different. I do think there's light at the end of the tunnel. So Operators Guild has Guild Talent. It's a talent agency. And so we get to see a lot of leading indicators of hiring picking up.
Oh, so you are seeing so that happen. So I'd love to hear more about the trends that you're seeing.
Yeah. I think the story is hybrid, right? It's always, it's called like the three buckets, right? There's like the people that are just fine and getting money and they're the cream of the crop and they just keep doing their thing, right? And they hire. The on the other side, of course, you have the default alive, give back money, shaving it down so that you can try to get to cash flow break even, but basically you're like a walking zombie, right? And then you have the middle, right? In the middle, I think of the people that are making it through. You know, they're not growing at 80%, they're growing at 15%. So it's working. They've done the layoff, they've trimmed it down, they've raised some money and they said, hey, all right, it's time to start pushing on the gas a little. We've stabilized and they start to hire. And of course, bucket one's also hiring. So yeah, so you're starting to see like bucket two start to hire. Because at some point, the whole default alive is not going to work. You have to be default investment quality because this is not going to be your last round. So you need to grow. And at the end of the day, the need to grow means people to help you do it. And so there's key roles that people have been holding out on or people left or got laid off that now it's time to refill or re-up. And so, yes, you're seeing
that. That's good. Okay. So have we already seen the bottom, you think?
My personal bet is I think we're near the bottom. We bounced off the bottom. We may go down a bit. But I don't, once again, my personal random speculation is it's now just cleaning out mode, flushing out mode, bouncing on the bottom of the floor, of the ocean floor mode. But because it's so not black and white, I think it's a kind of a slow bleed. Some can last a quarter, some will last 4 quarters, right? And so you'll see the drip of the washout over time, not in a quarter, not like 08, where just everything collapsed because of, the capital markets. Everyone has a different timeline that spans about 2 years. So I think it's going to be a 2-year bouncing on the floor thing, and we're probably halfway through. But I strongly believe in technology. I think it's cyclical, right? So people are like, oh, the death of VC. Technology is probably still one of the number one industries in the world to create the most value for mankind in the world. So you can't tell me this is it. What it is cyclical. If you look back, VC, all asset classes have had their dip. And we're in the dip. That's just, the laws of nature. And of course, the other thing you hear is, if you got money now, great time to invest. Right? So same thing, fear and greed.
Yep.
Like any other cycle, no different than any other cycle, except AI is in this one. So that's going to be a interesting next chapter.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does seem like the vast majority of companies within our ecosystem of the venture-backed companies that are burning cash, that they have done pretty substantial cuts already. And they're finding that, things are okay. And our top sales reps, they now have bigger territories, conversion rates are better, yep. although sales cycles are taking longer. But just overall quality of teams are, they're just stronger. I think we all just got a little fat over the last, you know, you know, 2020, 2021. So, yeah.
I think you said it well, which is, it's a psychology too. It's like, is it feeling okay? Is it feeling safer? Mm-hmm. A lot of what I've realized in life, whether it's investing or building, is psychological. You know, I joke when I worked with billionaire hedge fund people, you know, one was looking at buying a Ferrari and all of a sudden he had a bad week in the market and he said, I don't want to buy the Ferrari. Right. It's, and that's a, just okay. Why? I just, you know, it just, it shook me a bit, but
it's so true. I'm totally that way, but it's more like, I'm going to cook dinner tonight versus we're going to get exactly.
Same thing. Psychology and no different than, are you ready to hire someone again?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I'm going to cook tonight. Oh, actually, you know what? Let's go to the restaurant. Okay. I'm feeling like my job's okay. I feel like, you know, let's go hire someone. It's so psychological. Yeah. Well, I just backed by some facts, but yes.
For companies at critical development milestones, venture debt can serve as a key financing option to foster growth and minimize dilution. Venture debt is intended to complement equity with a solution that is less restrictive and more customizable than traditional commercial bank financing. Hercules Capital is the largest BDC focused on venture lending with over $19 billion of capital commitments made to more than 640 emerging growth companies. Since our inception, Hercules is the lender of choice for innovative entrepreneurs and their venture capital partners. Connect with us at htgc.com to learn more.
We're certainly seeing more optimism from what we did, I'd say like 3 months ago. It certainly feels different in the market. Like the quality of companies that we're seeing, it's better. And investors, like folks just seem more optimistic than towards the last quarter of 23, which is great. We need it. Well, good. So we last worked together when you were at Landing. So how are you spending your time today? Like what's next for you or what are you working on?
So what I'm really excited about is when I took some time off, I've always loved Operators Guild. So, you know, I had more time to just go. Operators Guild has its own team, you know, a fabulous team that runs itself. But, you know, I had more time to go dig in and spend time in there. And it was always a passion hobby that, you know, became a thing. And the long story short is when you have time to think about something deeper, you start to uncover things that was just sitting in front of you. The biggest thing that I realized was, okay, Operators Guild keeps growing. And a major CFO just joined. I'm gonna, you know, for anonymity's sake, I'm not gonna say the name, but it was like, whoa, okay. Why? No one sold to him. No, nothing. There was no marketing. Again, we were just like demand coming in and we're like, okay, we're like processing it and like amazing. And then it hit me. And this epiphany, I think I'm starting to write it down, whether it becomes a book or whether it becomes some LinkedIn posts or whether it becomes whatever, I think I want to share it because one of the missions that I have is supporting the operator. All right. So if you heard my story before, it's this lost, who are you? So if I were to give you the brief overview of the epiphany, most jobs are verticalized. What I mean by that is if I say, what do you do for a living? Sales. Okay, that's pretty clear. Marketing, pretty clear. Engineering, got it. But if you start talking about what we do, and when I say we, I mean early to mid-stage high growth, right? Tech, right? There's many businesses in the world, but let me define that's what I'm talking about. CFO. Now, what are people going to think? Finance. I know what you do. No. The question you ask yourself if you're an operator, what percent of my calendar is homogenous? Okay, if you ask a salesperson, look at your calendar, 90% of it will probably be sales. Sales meetings, sales calls, okay. Engineering, 90% will be coding, Scrum, Agile meetings. If you look at an operator, or at least the people sitting in OG, it is Swiss cheese. I actually calculated with a CFO, 15% of my time was finance. The rest was working with go-to-market, analytics, BI, hiring and firing, job leveling, CEO stuff, executive drama, cleaning the bathroom. Like, so Operators Guild bonds because very few people understand what we actually do. Sales groups, very clear. Everyone knows what sales does. I can kind of, okay, get it. I liken it like a mom's group. Like moms are like this. They do everything.
Damn right we do.
Yeah. And that's why there's mom's groups and dads aren't involved because you don't understand what it's like to be a mom. I don't. I have three kids and I still don't. So in a weird way, there's this like, we do it all. So where am I getting with this? We've been misunderstood because of titles. When that CFO joined OG, I said, hey, why don't you join this CFO group or that CFO group, right? You're a hardcore CFO. And he looked at me and he goes, because I'm not a CFO. And I said, bingo, welcome to OG. So I carry five CFO titles and two CEOs. The truth is, for a bunch of us, that just happens to be where we spike. We are specialists at being generalists. So the OG came to be without any sales dollars, any marketing dollars, because there was no community for the Navy SEALs of company building. What I mean by that is generalist is a very bad word in Silicon Valley. What do? I'm a generalist. That sounds terrible. Yeah. No. Do you sell or do you code or do you market? Like, what do you do? I just make it run. I'm a little bit of everything and I spike in finance or spike in, I'm like, what? So what I'm writing about is how this came to be. I'm going to paraphrase here, right? Just to, you know, for effect. When tech started, it was the Stanford PhDs. There was 10 amazing VCs on Sand Hill Road and they did a startup, you know, Google, et cetera. And these are the early days, right? So the silicon chip was being made and the internet, right? We were like dial up modem. You know, the 90s or whatever, obviously even before that. But the point is, most people weren't taking computer science degrees until recently. Okay, so what do you have? You have the early Googles of the world starting, you have these VCs. But to me, at the time, it was like, oh, these tech startups, that's a California, like Northern California thing, right? Like that's just what I don't know, whatever they're doing there. It's very, you know, eccentric, very technical. Next stage. A lot of computer science majors now. The cost of a startup going down. AWS, SaaS, what's happening? Oh, and now Sergey and them, they're onto their, you know, whatever, you know, second startup or whoever, you know. So now you have multi-time founders who've done it already. And then you're in a third cycle. And there's more computer science majors who can code. That means they're coding things to sell. The more so. And all of a sudden, what I'm saying is startups are becoming normal. Not this like, oh my God, you're doing a startup. Not only that, now it moves to, you can get paid doing it. Wow, this is like, okay, hold that thought. Now I'm gonna move you over in parallel in the 90s or whatever to all these top colleges, all these overachieving, you know, straight A, Catherine's, young Catherine sitting there. Catherine, you're about to graduate from this prestigious school. What are you gonna do? But Catherine, I'll show you what you can do. There's paths already made for you. Med school, law school, Wall Street. Right here, Wall Street. Here's the crew right here. Go investment banking, get right in there. McKinsey and Bain. Right over there, you can go do that. You know, da-da-da. You know, more academics. Oh, corporate. IBM Career Fairs right over there with Pfizer. Okay. And what do? You pick one of them. That's a lot of choices.
Mm-hmm.
There's I ran out of the number. I don't know. There's a 10th. It's called startups. That was on the table always, but no one knew about it. It was so weird. I did it inadvertently because I didn't like the another 9. I was like, what is that? But there was no nice paved path for me. It was get laughed at. All right, you and these bunch of people in a room trying to build code and software. You're not even a coder. You're a bookkeeper. Okay, cool. Fast forward 10 years. There's the people who sell it, there's the people who code, and there's now a third. That is a must, the people who scale it. Startups are growing so fast, they're so prolific. VCs have, I don't know, 10x'd. This ecosystem is now moving to the NFL level. Startups is no longer this garage thing. People are getting paid a lot of money. Super talented people like Catherine are now doing tech, not McKinsey or med school. It's serious now. And when that much talent and that much money is, and by the way, money's at stake is large. So anytime you have money at stake, heavy talent and innovation, it's highly competitive. So what's happening is any company that just has great engineering and great sales is not enough. That's my line. It is not enough. If you don't have very strong finance, very strong operating, scaling, you will break. A lot of companies had great products, great sales, and they exploded. They actually completely imploded because they forgot about the third leg. That third leg, when you look into it, is the OG. That's what we are. And we do it all day long, but we didn't know how to define ourselves. We are specialists at being generalists. We are business first, function second. And the last thing about it, if anyone's listening, and is this resonating with you? You know you're a generalist when you can carry many titles. So for me, I have CFO, COO, chief of staff, biz ops, founder, janitor. What I mean by that is career sales professionals who are amazing generally don't do other stuff. They are sales, CRO, CRO, you know, BD, maybe they become CEO. That's just not the track. We are built horizontal, orthogonal, which is why the world has just didn't know where to put us. Oh, I guess so you'll be a CFO because you came from banking. Some of us are COOs now. Some of us have moved to CROs. It is a very special breed of people who can do many things decently and spike at a few things, just like Navy SEALs. It's no different. Anyway, so it's this, the rise of the business operator that if you don't want to do Wall Street and you don't want to do that, come over here. We're going to help you, apprentice you for the next generation, where we're going to be just as valued or important or lethal as the CTO.
I love it. So are you guys also, because it's almost like there needs, so you need to create a career path for the scaling it side. And
that's right.
And what you're also saying is like the titles are also pretty funky. So it almost needs to be, you know how there's exactly so many new titles now, right? There never used to be like CHRO or chief information officer. Like these are like, you know, they were just newer C-level executives. So like, what do you call it?
That's exactly right. Now, I don't blame people for having funky titles because you're not going to, if I do nine things at the company, you're not going to give me nine titles, right? You give my title COO, you give it chief of staff, you give it whatever title's free and you just go do the stuff. By the way, this is specific for early growth because when you're really big, you specialize. Yeah. You know, like Walmart has 50 people that just do payroll, right? But here, one person does payroll and, you know, and facilities and, you know, they do a bunch. Okay, but we're not talking about that, you know, like that early. But what I'm saying is you nailed it. It is a career profession to be early growth, mid growth tech, and you are not a coder and you're not selling. Mm-hmm. That needs to be defined. So as part of my work, whether it's the book, but OG's building a curriculum. So no different than Navy SEALs, right? You know, just to use we're obviously not that badass. But my point is Navy SEALs are all called SEALs and they all have, you know, air quote, the same trident, right? The same symbol. But some are medics, some are snipers, some do ordnance explosives. So the analogy would be, if you call someone that's a CFO just a finance professional, they do finance, that's like calling a SEAL a sniper. No, that's just that's their specialty. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, they can also save you. They can also run. They can also kill you. They can, you know, so no different. Everyone in the OG can do a lot of roles. However, they spike. So think of a T shape. Yeah. We're horizontal, but we're a T. So my spike is strategic finance. My second spike is organ culture. But there's other spikes. Other spikes are BI and analytics, board and fundraising. There's leadership. So just like SEALs, we're going to create disciplines. So disciplines are different than verticals. Verticals are sales, marketing. Disciplines are what I just said. They're just, you know, now we don't know what the name exactly right now is, but BI and analytics is a very clear discipline. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen in the OG is we're going to start to spike in certain disciplines. And now when you look at the 10 disciplines, you can say, I really want to beef up. Oh, RevOps, go-to-market ops is a thing now. BizOps is a thing now. You can say, I'm a little weak in those areas. I really want to learn that. So what I say is teach your major, learn your minor. So I will help teach fundraising. I've done a bunch of it. Strategic finance. These are where we spike. But I'm less so RevOps. So some of the best RevOps leaders are in OG who are going to lead the RevOps courses. So that's no different than Navy SEALs. You want to do sniper school? There's snipers who teach that. But they also learn the basics of medicine, and they learn the basics of running. And so no different, except we were always made the mistake that we were vertical. COOs understand this, but they are also, to be frank, I think most COOs are not analytical enough. And a lot of finance people aren't commercial enough.
Mm-hmm.
So OG accidentally formed in this very weird way where we're the only group that has like CFOs and COOs together. And everyone's like, that makes no sense. And I realized it would never make sense if you sat there and thought about it. But in the real world, it makes incredible mm-hmm. sense, because the best CFOs are moving towards COOs. The best COOs want to understand finance and learn unit economics. Remember before, measurement. Why do we need to measure anything? The other takeaway is the future executive is multidisciplinary. You don't call VP of sales anymore. Like, that's not the cool title. It's called chief revenue officer. Oh, that's funny. That R is a finance word. Why? Because it's not about bookings. It's about retention, revenue, DRR, churn. Oh, that's interesting. That's very analytical. That's very mm-hmm. financy. And on the finance side, by the way, it's not just give a quota to your CRO and run away. No, get in the go-to-market room, listen to them. Help them with pricing. Help them with financing to grease to shorten the sales cycle. You're part of go-to-market, CFO. Are you a finance professional anymore, or are you a business builder? The future executives are badass business builders who can go into go-to-market, who can talk RevOps, who can run a spreadsheet, just like a Navy SEAL. What's the mission? Got it. I need to pick up my gun. I need to do this. I need to run. That's a very special breed.
And so fun too. Like it's
and imagine when the courses are built.
Yeah.
Like I want to learn sniping. Yeah. I want to learn risk. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I never knew that's what it's mm-hmm. called. So you get to robust out. What's happening now is we just do it because we use like common sense. We're like, shoot, we should probably measure this. There needs to be a course. I always joke, hopefully Stanford in 7 years teaches this course. It's going to become regular. Mm-hmm. But right now we're just doing it because we think it's important, but it's not been structured like engineering's been yeah. structured or sales has been structured, because those are much more, they've had a lot more time. Mm-hmm. So BizOps is a relatively new thing. RevOps is very new. So if you catch my drift, this is all becoming a thing where our children will be like, yeah, I'm gonna be a scaler.
Yeah, I love it. I'm a scaler. It's way sexier than generalist.
It's like crazy. Yeah, right. Well, and scaler is not even a great word, but I need to figure out what that word is. But, you know, instead of going to med school, mom and dad, I'm going to do this, you know, whatever the name is. Like, oh, that's awesome. That's great. Right? So entrepreneurship is what it was used to be called, but people think of only Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. Like, oh, I'm not a founder. No, you can do that without being uh-huh. a founder and be very important and make six figures.
Absolutely.
And it's not the crazy risky thing that it mm-hmm. used to be. And now the 10th path for young Catherine has now appeared. And she goes, what is that? And I'm like, welcome to OG. Welcome to whatever. Now there's a place, because young Casey never mm-hmm. had that. It was get thrown into the streets and like go figure it out. So that's why we call it a guild, because a guild is an apprenticeship model.
That's so exciting, Casey. I love it. Yeah. Sign my kid up.
I'll sign you up.
For Operators Guild, is it just for like what level of people are part yep. of it?
So there's two ways to cut it. So one is director mm-hmm. and above. We are rolling out OG Next for those who are young. That's a OG Next is going to be a different community, cool. but it's for menteeship, mentorship. Mm-hmm. Hiring them for jobs. There's a whole bunch of cool things. There's four major personas that consist of this kind of Navy SEAL-ish concept. The first are CFOs and finance. The second is COOs and ops. So there's VP ops, customer ops, COOs. The third is what I call special ops. That's biz ops, rev ops, chief of staff, strategy. So generally people that don't have big teams, but are very like consulting-ish or internal consulting or special project-y, like go and help Catherine and then go help, you know, but there's only like one or two of them, you know, in theory. And the fourth are early founders, general managers, and CEOs. So that's the riddle. What do all these four have in common, right? And before, I couldn't figure it out. I'd be looking at these four coming into the OG and loving it. Like the cross-pollination of ideas, if you can imagine, is like, and then I realized what they all share in common, definitely not title, is where they're all generalists. A founder, Elon Musk is the ultimate Navy SEAL. That guy can code, recruit, fundraise, start an idea, buy a company, right? So, you know, he just happens to be very technical, but founders are generalists for the most part. Now, I mean, then you have people that are more like, I'm an engineer and I started it, so I'm not a generalist, but I need to hire a co-founder, right? But my point is a lot of founders have to be a generalist.
Yeah, they spike in different areas. Like you said, like founders spike in product or they spike in, building or selling.
Exactly.
And some in scaling, but not all, it's a skill.
And it's really important to know where you spike and how to fill in the spikes. But that's exactly right. So that's why generalist is a bad word, because it sounds like you're not good at anything. There is a real skill in being able to move left and right. Oh, and up and down. And then of course you sit in a commercial seat or a finance seat or we all have a spike. But at the next level of it, it's how do you piece it together? Okay, now that I know your spike, my spike. So now when you really think about the next level of this, it's all right, company X, what do you need? Mm-hmm. And not to use a cheesy analogy, Navy SEALs, when you talk to them, when there's a mission, they go, what do we need? Oh, we need 3 snipers, 4 swimmers, 5 boats. And because every mission's different, we don't need any medics for this or whatever. I'm making it up, right? And they create it. No different than a startup. What's the mission? It's prop tech. Oh, shoot. So you need some finance people, right? It's DoorDash. Ooh, you need some physical supply chain operator type, right? Or whatever. And specialists come in, but they're generalists. A lot of them are generalists. Yep. So what type of CFO? Where do they spike? They spike here, they spike there. So instead of just saying, I need a COO, we're going to get much more advanced. No different than engineering, front end, back end. There's all these different types of engineering. But right now it's like, I don't know. I need someone to get it done.
Yep.
And then later it's going to be specific.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible for recruiting too. So I'm super excited about this for you. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see like on LinkedIn. It's like, I do this, but I spike here and I spike here. And,
yeah. Or there's certifications.
Yep.
I certified in BI and analytics. I'm certified in Oregon culture and deep. And the other thing about OG is that we believe in the people who do it all day long are the best to teach it. So it's literally the active CFOs teaching strategic finance. It's the active, the head of BIs that are literally teaching BI. No different than military. Yep. The Navy SEALs who are snipers teach the snipers. That is the best way to learn. And there you have it. And now you see the generations of like next generation getting better, more advanced, And tech companies are going to be super dialed because of the amount of sophistication that will start to come in.
This is going to be exciting. And I look forward to reading your book. And so for everyone listening, anything that you would like help from our community for folks to reach out to you?
Oh, the number one is I love bringing amazing people that I described into the community. So getting the word out, this is the whole mission is, are you lost out there? A very common thing for maybe the audience will be hearing is, I can't explain to someone what I do. Welcome home. Come on over. Number one, we understand what you do. Number two is we're going to help you define it. So that's number one. And number two and number three, to be quite frank. The other one is, I think people who are very interested in what I described, right, is helping to create the courses to educate. There's people who really want to teach. The other thing I say about our 800 members is we all have a PhD in something. Find out what it is. One person has a PhD in Norway go-to-market. Another has Canadian engineer hiring. Can you imagine in one group, hey, I need help going to Norway. Hi, I'm here. What do you need? You get your PhD when you need something, but there's too many PhDs. So the only way to do it is community. Diverse. That type of diversity is so incredible. So that diversity, please come. OG Next is starting. So if all you listening out there, if you have people on your team or you are more on the junior side, we want to really build out that. Because in the end of the day, these things are all about the people.
I love it. Focus on the next generation of generalists that are badasses and scale companies.
Yeah. And of course, if you want to do angel investing as an operator, you know, please come to Fog Ventures. I would love to have you.
Great. Well, Casey, thanks so much for joining and for being a guest on the show. I always love chatting with you and I love your energy.
Thank you, Catherine. Thanks for having me.